This is Japan Baseball Weekly. News, interviews, analysis, and your questions, all about NPB. And now your hosts, Johnny Gibson and Jin Allen.
Hi, and welcome to the Japan Baseball Weekly podcast. It's for the week of November 4th. I'm John Gibson, and with me on a Saturday night here in North Carolina and a Sunday morning in Tokyo is my buddy Jim Allen. What's happening, dude?
I am I'm alive. I'm getting over a fever.
Yes, Jim is playing hurt.
I had baseball fever this week. I caught it.
Most of the time, that's a great thing to have. You know, you're all engaged in baseball. You got the World Series going. You got the Japan Series going. Your head is spinning. Everything's fun. But in this case, Jim actually had a fever.
Yeah. I got a fever sometime during it. My temperature got high sometime during game 5 in Fukuoka and got back to Tokyo. And then as Bob Whiting sent me a message, and I said, you know, the baseball gods have rewarded me for my years of service by postponing game 6 of the Japan Series.
That's right. You are the reason for the rain. I was thinking your doctor was throwing some high heat at you with some prescriptions.
He did as well. Yes, I got the doctor in Fukuoka gave me a sack full of medicine. It was like old times.
Old times, like college days? What are you talking about?
Like old times in Japan, where you'd go to the doctor and you'd need one of those, like, a little old lady wheel baskets to carry all your drugs home.
Good grief. You're just going all anti-PC all over the place. All right. Well, yes.
Okay. Elderly people, man.
No, you said what you said, and I got the image, and I can't say that you're wrong, and
yeah, but
I do remember those days.
Yeah, but it's like, why it's changed, I don't know, except the doctor's kind of got a bad name in Japan for just over-prescribing drugs, I think.
Well, you know, instead of saying want to get high like Towley, they just dole out a lot of drugs.
Well,
they didn't even ask.
Well, I don't know, but... Yeah, it was a little nostalgic and hopped on the Shinkansen and actually slept on the Shinkansen. I slept much of Saturday when there was supposed to be a baseball game, but I was spared that. And I'm off to Yokohama today for game 6.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you're better. And let's talk about the Japan Series. On this week's show, we've got Andre Jackson of Yokohama DNA. He's the guest. And we're going to look at the Japan Series games and handle some high heat. So let's start swinging.
Clearing the bases.
Okay, well, I caught up with Andre Jackson in Fukuoka. He was the game one starter for DeNA, and he pitched really well. But he pitched really well in a game in which DeNA had DeNA's fielders. Missed some plays, and the SoftBank Hawks saved Kohei Arihara a run or two.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
So he was not really happy with the end result, although he pitched quite well. And that's really been the story of the series, but we'll get on. This is before his Game 5 gem, and we'll talk about that. And then after the interview, I'll place, I'll repeat some of the notes because my iPhone was dying and I couldn't record him. but I was taking notes, and I'll reveal some of the stuff he said in this marvelous post-game media scrum. So
that this marvelous post-game media scrum that Jim said, Andre Jackson just had a great media scrum, and my I wasn't able to record it. And I'm like, well, what are we doing here? And why are you telling me this?
Well, I was disappointed because it was so good. And
Well, don't tell me.
Okay.
There's the secret. Yeah. Just say, well, nothing happened here. Nothing to see. Nothing to hear.
Well, you know, I don't worry. You know, you're not in the same room with me, so I didn't like tell my wife I had a fever. I didn't tell my boss I had a fever because those people would be mad at me.
I see. All right.
And if you're
you got a buffer zone,
if you're mad at me in North Carolina, I can deal with it. Call them.
All right.
Okay. So here's Andre Jackson.
So anyway, nice to meet you. And how was this in Japan? Well, first of all, that was a great game you pitched. Yeah, I mean, it could have been better. You know, the results could have been better, but...
Yeah, just trying to win right now, right?
Yeah, exactly. That was unfortunate, but it was still, you know, it was a good effort.
Good effort, but
that happens. Baseball, they're
baseball,
tough.
Baseball happens, man. You give up a hit to the pitcher, you give up 2 runs, you know? That's how it works.
That is exactly how it works, so... how has the experience been in the playoffs here? And I mean, people tell me, especially a lot of guys who with minimal major league experience, MLB experience, come here and they go like, wow, it's like playoff atmosphere in September. But
yeah.
Now you got the next step up.
Yeah.
How has that been?
It's awesome, man. I mean, you know, we finally got to play at home. I was excited to pitch there and was actually pretty amped up for the first time all year. Not for the first time, but... I haven't felt something like that in a while, so that was cool. But, you know, all these games here, though, they're, like, always packed and, you know, good energy. So it's been fun all year. We've had a good experience. And, you know, I think we got a really good team. You know, we're you know, a couple hits away from, you know, changing the series. So
it's been hard.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and maybe some walks bit us in the butt a little bit in my game. I threw way too many walks. But, you know, other than that, I think we're... on the right track. I think we got a chance to.
Oh, you got the rest series record for consecutive strikeouts in a row, which I didn't know.
Okay, yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Got you out of one jam.
Yeah, you got me out of one jam. No, I started settling in, and then, you know, it was like too many pitches. You know, it was a walker strikeout.
Right.
So, you know, as long at bats, they had good at bats against me. And
yeah.
Good team. So
that happens. Okay, well, let me ask about some of the adjustments you've made your first year in Japan.
Yeah.
What were some of the biggest adjustments that you needed to make to get where you are right now?
Yeah, just landing my off speed for strikes, and then having them respect your fastball. You got to throw your fastball in the zone. And, you know, in the States, you can kind of get away with missing up in the zone and, you know, getting swing and miss. There's not as much swing and miss here.
Right.
So learning how to get outs in the strike zone and, you know, making pitches to get them to chase has been the biggest adjustment.
Okay, no, of course, one of the things I guess they told you before you arrived is these left-handed hitters, about a third of them are only trying to hit the ball over third base or foul it off.
Right.
What has been your major response to them?
Don't try to get them to chase. Let them do it. You know what I mean? You know, try to make good pitches so they're not just consistently beating you. But, you know, honestly, it's learning how to pitch the contact and get the weak contact. And then when you're ahead in the count, you're going to do really well here. If you're not ahead, the strike zone's a little bit smaller than what I'm used to height-wise.
Right.
You know, you'll get some good calls if you're hitting your spots. But, yeah, it's just learning new approaches.
Okay.
That was the biggest deal, for sure.
Okay, until the middle of the season, the Bay Stars basically had three different catchers.
Mm-hmm.
Did everybody catch you, or was it?
Yeah, Shion's even caught me. I've had everybody Ito.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Shion, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Toba and Yudai, so, you know, had a lot of different catchers, you know, and everybody's got their own quirks and stuff, and, you know, we're trying to get on the same page, and, you know, me and Yudai got on a good page, and so me and Toba, so.
Okay, so let's say if you're getting ready to pitch your next game, if you know you have a chance to talk to the catcher about some of these hitters you've seen, is that a big deal?
Yeah,
other than the meeting.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we haven't really changed much. I try to pitch to my strengths mostly,
Of course.
And then there's a few batters in each lineup that you just gotta, you know, understand the situation if you gotta make good pitches or pitch around. But other than that, I try to attack these hitters because I think, you know, they typically take a team approach against them. You know, kind of attack them all the same.
Yeah, they're a pretty aggressive team. They strike out. I mean, they take some big swings and strike out a lot.
Yeah, you know, it's more of a lineup I'm probably used to. So, you know, it didn't feel very foreign to me.
Okay.
Facing these guys compared to some of the guys in our league, some of the teams in our league. So
how would you evaluate your first year in Japan so far? It's not finished yet. You got more win games to win.
Yeah, I
want to
win. You know, just we're here. Might as well win, right? So. Personally, I think I've done okay. Could have done better. Started off, you know, making a lot of adjustments, like you said. And it was a good year, not great.
You have any specific goals for this next off season? Work on some of the things you learned this year?
Yeah, no, just take the momentum from this year going off season healthy and, you know, work on my body, work on the confidence and, you know, come back and try to do my thing.
You know? Were there any like really real surprises for you this year?
Yeah, I mean, it was just a big culture shock. I mean, I think, yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot you don't think about. The baseball,
right.
You think is going to be the same game, but it's not. You know, the style of it, you know, having to hit again. I've been hit since college, so having to hit and having that be part of my routine during the game and bunting and like, there's just a lot more you got to kind of do. Covering bases is super vital here. It's always vital in baseball, but
yeah.
You got guys dogging it down the line in the States and here, you know, you got the four hole busting it down the line. You got to beat them there. So, you know, little reactionary things that you would think are normal, just get over to first. Your reaction actually is important here.
I would ask, how much more PFP did you do this year?
A lot, yeah. A lot.
And about three or four times normal?
Enough until I proved that I could do it in the game, then they said, all right, you're good.
Okay. All right. Well, anyway, thank you very much and
Jim,
good luck.
Jim, right?
Nice to
meet you. Okay, well, thank you very much, and hopefully you got one more win in you this year.
Hopefully.
Okay.
I think you got a chance, man.
Okay, thank you very much, Andre. It was a pleasure meeting you, and of course he had talked to John, and he remembered me because he talked to John. That happens a lot.
Come on.
you're the guy who talks to John, which is of course why he asked my name again. So that's all right. You know, I'm used to being the less famous person everywhere I go.
Especially when you're out with your wife.
But as somebody said to me the other day, a friend of mine in America, some U.S. media called him about, it was Buster Olney called him about something because for some reason he found out he had lived in Japan and he's a baseball fan. I told him, James, his name is also James. I said, you're the only reason Buster talks to me.
Yeah, I think I reached out to Buster years ago and got crickets and some, you know, tumbleweeds. So I've not done that again.
Okay.
But yeah,
comments.
Yeah, so it was good to hear from Andre. And again, you said he didn't win his first start in the Japan series, but he looked good doing it. And then he came back and pitched really, really well.
Yeah.
And I've been noticing that I think each of the Baystar starters went seven innings each.
Yep.
While the Hawks used six or seven hurlers in every game. And I'm sure that rainout on Saturday is probably something that the Hawks were praying for as well. Not only you, because it gave them some time to rest some of those pitchers.
Less for the starters than for the bullpen.
Yeah, but I can't say call out Andre, but I want to thank him for telling us that, you know, what happened, I guess, and congratulations to the Dodgers. And of course, all the Dodgers fans are screaming crazy happy like I am. But I think we saw what Andre was talking about in game five of the World Series when Gerrit Cole failed to cover first base. And this is what caught my ear, that he said, guys, dog it to first base. And he had to, when he came over to Japan, he had to make that adjustment. And I'm like, what? And I think we don't see that, especially because I watch a lot of Major League Baseball, and we can't see how fast they're running. And of course, the cameras don't show
often
the pitcher immediately busting off the mound, unless you're paying attention to that. Unless you see something going to the right side and your eyes divert from the ball to the pitcher, you don't notice exactly how fast their jump is to first base per se. And then the camera angles don't usually show it anyway. They switch cameras, and then you see either the pitcher getting to the ball or the first baseman getting the ball and the pitcher covering or whatever you see. But we're not privy to that kind of video a lot of times until they take the angle on which the pitcher went directly to first base and was busting it really hard to beat the runner. So it's basically Andre told on all the – he tattled on all the major league pitchers who dog it. And that's the word he used, right? He said they dog it to first base and get. And I'm surprised, but we saw it in the World Series when Gerrit Cole decided, okay, if I just point my finger at first base, that'll get the runner out. But he didn't run. and it was a really squirrely grounder that Anthony Rizzo was trying to tackle there at first base. And, you know, the one time I think we talked about it, remember a long time ago, I pitched in a pickup game, and I said I was jumping around out there and dancing when I got a strikeout and everything. Man, I would be the first one over there to first base, okay? So I don't even understand that. So, yeah, it's really weird to hear that. And we can't see how fast these guys are running or how slowly they're running. And you can't tell on TV if they're going 80% or 95%. You really can't tell because we don't see that play that often. So I found that fascinating that he's telling on the other guy. So, Andre, I don't know if you're going to get to pitch in this series again. I'm assuming they'll even use you out of the bullpen. We better see you hustling over to first base on those little squibbers to the right side, because you have told on a lot of major league pitchers and a lot of guys who come here. Probably, hopefully, they get a chance to find out that they're going to have to, through our podcast here, that they're going to find out that they really have to bust it over to first base on the covers. And you talked about fielders pitching, what do you call it, practice or whatever
PFP,
it's called.
So, pitchers fielding practice, right?
Yeah, so I hope they know now. If they didn't know before, I hope you know now, gentlemen. You got to run hard to first base. So that was my favorite part of
If you come to Japan, look forward to PFP at least 5 times a week.
Yeah, so what about you?
Well, that was really it, and that was
you were
going to
take my thing?
No, it's your thing. Your thing is your thing, I wanted to comment on it. And what I was thinking about as soon as he said it was, you know, you watch the Japanese pitchers. I'm going to go back to MLB, but I'm going to skip the World Series because, to be honest, I was quite trying to work in sleep and breakfast and other appointments and every workouts every morning. So the World Series was not high on my priorities, but I did.
Especially because it was the Dodgers. I know.
No, I was ambivalent about who won. I did want Shohei Ohtani to do well, but I was ambivalent about who won. The thing is that all I was thinking about was when you watch MLB and you watch the Japanese pitchers over there, you can hear in, even if they don't say it, you can, when a Japanese pitcher, and I'm really struggling to remember one who didn't get that vibe of somebody who was jumping off the mound like a cat, balanced and moving more or less in the right direction most of the time, you know, and had good footwork, because it's the norm in Japan. And you see these guys and they're going, wow, he's such a good fielder. But they say that about, you know, they said that about Kenta Maeda, and they said of Masahiro Tanaka, and even Yu Darvish, who's lanky and takes long to uncoil. He still practiced at that. And I don't want to say practice makes perfect, like Japan is perfect or anything. But if practice did make perfect, Japan would never make a mistake. Ever,
yeah, definitely.
Anything. So obviously that ain't true, but the point is that, as soon as he said that, I just had all these visions of the Japanese pitchers leaping off the mound and the announcers going nuts. So, but yeah, that was fun. And just the real attitude, what I got from talking to the Bay Stars players was they're very, I don't know if they feel like it's like they ever felt it was life and death, but Yoshitomo Tsutsugo said, look, our manager is cool all the time. I think we had that conversation at Tokyo Dome when Anthony Kay said, look, he doesn't get like really amped up all the time. He wants to win, but he's not physically, he's not one of these, he's not really a rah-rah kind of guy. He's not, every pitch is life and death, and that they were really cool. And in the postseason, the fielding was a little cool. Now the Bay Stars fielding has been it hasn't been shoddy, but when you watch the games, you can see that the Hawks play so much better defense. They get to more balls, they make better throws, they make better catches. And that's not to say the Bay Stars aren't making the routine plays. They are making more routine plays than they did during the regular season, but they've had some jitters, and they've had more plays. They've had more balls in play that they should have done more with more of the balls that were hit to them, or they could have done more with, you know, if the script had been flipped, this series would have been over. Like by game five, the Bay Stars would have won it in five games because the defense just let in so many leaky runs. And that was really the problem. So anyway, moving on.
You ready to talk about the games?
Yeah, let's talk about the games because to me, that's really been the big thing of
okay,
all the
yeah.
games.
So yeah, before we get deep into the games, I just have to say one of my mornings here, because the games are on pretty early in the morning here, and I was driving into work and I'm listening to I think it was game five, and this YouTube live streamer was doing his call of the game. That's what I didn't want to put the visuals on because I was driving, so I just wanted to listen. So I put one of these guys on. And I guess before one of the innings, because obviously, with the Bay Stars up 3-2, having won all three games in Fukuoka, he was saying that he didn't believe it was good for NPB, for a third place team, to win the Japan Series. And so it was the exact opposite of what I had said just last week, right? Mm. I said I thought this was a great thing for NPB. And so he made his case, and he specifically pointed out that it diminishes the pennant winner. And what the meaning of the team that wins the pennant, or the higher seeded team, even if it's a second place team, that you can let a team that's essentially average during the regular season play its way into the Japan Series and even win the thing. And, you know, I'm listening to this and I'm saying, okay, I understand you. I hear your argument. And I understand the parameters of what you're saying. But I wholeheartedly disagree, because what I said last week, now this means you've got three teams that reach the playoffs and you also have a fourth place team. We've got 12 teams in Japan. That means 8 teams. So that fourth place team all the way down to the fourth place team, 8 of the 12 teams in Japan think they have a chance to win.
Well, some years it's more.
Some years it could. Yeah, that's true. And so I'm thinking, so at least 8 then.
Right.
And so I'm thinking that can only be good for the second half of the season. Regular season games are more meaningful, all those other things. And again, they stack the deck so heavily against the third place team that it forces that side to win all the road games over 2 rounds. And, you know, you start the second round with a off the field loss. And, you know, you could get to the Japan Series. Let's say you do that like the Bay Stars have done. Then you're inevitably, both three third place teams are not going to make it to the Japan Series. So you're probably, chances are, odds are very high that you're facing a higher seeded team. So it's an uphill climb. What is wrong with an uphill climb and then making that climb for a lower seeded team? There's nothing wrong with that. It's a great story. It's a great thing to happen. So I just didn't agree with this at all. But I understood the guy's argument that what does the regular season mean then if you have a third place team doing this?
Yeah, that's a good question. And because this was really the topic 10 years ago. You know, 10 years ago, the Pacific League introduced their playoffs. Well, they introduced them earlier than, you know, before the start of the 2004 season, which is surprisingly memorable for so many other things besides the start of the current playoff format. But
20 years ago, you're saying, yes.
Excuse me, 20 years ago. I know.
I'm helping you with the math. I'm good at that.
I appreciate that. That's why I've got computers, so I don't mess this stuff up as often as I do.
Everybody knows I hate math. So
Well, people think I love numbers, and I do love numbers, but I can't remember them more than they are. So 20 years ago, the Pacific League introduced their playoffs, and the uproar from the Central League was like, you morons, nobody's going to like, you know, it was a typical, the Central League has been clearly the most popular league because of two reasons. One was the Giants, not the popularity of Shigeo Nagashima and the Giants, their 9 straight Japan Series winning pennants. And the other one was a huge gambling scandal that brought down one of the most popular and successful PL teams, the Nishitetsu Lions, in the early 70s. So those two things conspired to really dump the Pacific League into the second tier status in terms of popularity. They still had great players, but they just were not popular. So the PL has constantly been from 1972 to 2004, the Pacific League was constantly innovating, trying to find new things to do. And every time they came up with an innovation, the Central League owners basically...
They got off the scoff, the scoffing again.
Yeah, the scoffing. It was like a MAGA thing. It was like, you know, you guys are, you're such a low IQ league. You're doing this stuff. Nobody's going to buy it. Nobody's going to do it. And then, okay, they had Pacific League Monday, and that didn't really work out because it wasn't managed very well. But it could work, as Bobby Valentine wanted something like that. And I think that was a good idea, where it was one team play, two teams playing on Monday and not the whole league. So the Monday didn't work, but they did announcing the starting pitchers in advance. Okay. And the Central League scoffed at that. And then 2004, there was more scoffage when they said, we're going to have a playoff. And the you know, sort of like Japan's version, although that's harsh because he's not a moron, was the former, he's now the owner emeritus of the Yomiuri Giants, Tsuneo Watanabe, said, if the Giants get in the Japan series against a third place team, we will boycott. We're not playing a third place team. We're champions, and they're not.
Yes, I remember, yeah.
Although technically, the Pacific League champion, from 2004 to 2006, the playoffs decided the Pacific League championship. Okay. So now we're going to fast forward to 2006, or maybe it was 2005. I do not remember, but there was a day when the Yomiuri Giants were playing the Yokohama Bay Stars, pre-DNA. And it was a makeup game, and it was kind of a rainy day, but the Giants were runaway pennant winners, and they're playing a game in Yokohama in September, but the Giants are headed to the Japan series, and there were about 1,000 people in the stands.
Friends and family.
And exactly. And that same day, the Fighters and the Rakuten Eagles, were out of it. They were fifth place or sixth place. They were out of it. But the Fighters were in third or fourth place, and they were battling for the playoffs. And they sold close to 40,000 seats for a game between Yu Darvish and, I think, Hisashi Iwakuma at Sapporo Dome.
What a matchup, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm going, you know, the Central League, it was probably going, we want to do that too. You know, and this has been, you know, this has been the thing, and this, it was a brilliant idea for the, and I don't, you know, I can't measure fan excitement. I don't have a metric for that, but I think more fans like it than dislike it. And as far as the money goes, getting fans to come to the ballpark and buy stuff, it's been a gold mine. Okay. Yeah. And so, okay. So there's that. So there's that history. And then the Central League took it over, and they said, well, we can't call it the playoffs. We have to call it something. So they called it the Climax Series, when it's, in fact, the Climax is the Japan Series.
So yeah, but don't let the facts get in the way of a good marketing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So it's sort of like the warm-up series. Yeah. Okay. anyway, moving
no
along.
Comment for me, yeah. Moving along. Yes.
Yeah. So 9 years later, or 10 years later, I'm in the winter meetings in San Diego, and I'm so used to hearing MLB plays. This is, sorry for this long story, but I'm so used to hearing everybody who comes to Japan familiar with MLB saying, oh, you know, it's Japan, so MLB will never do like Japan does. But it was 2014, and the San Francisco Giants had just been the wild card team. I think they were the wild card team 2 years in two consecutive World Series championships. And or maybe the World Series champion had been a wild card team for 2 years. And people were going, we got to fix this system. You know, we got to fix this broken system. And it was so weird. And people were going, well, Japan does it differently. What can we learn? People were saying, what can we learn from Japan? I know. It was like brain cells were frying because it was so absurd. to hear people, American journalists and baseball people, talk about what they might learn from Japanese
from Japan.
Baseball.
Yeah, yeah.
But that was one thing, and we've seen that now in the situation where the wild card playoffs are at the home, is the three games at the home of the higher seeded team. There's no one win advantage, but we're moving, you know, they've shifted a little bit toward that. They were talking about other things, but those things struck me as somebody's always got a better idea.
Yeah.
And if you're stuck, like MLB was stuck for 100 years on, we know everything. Whatever we know is better. Then somebody else is going to fool you and get better than you.
Yeah. I just heard John Smoltz the other day suggest that maybe that the teams with the highest seeds maybe can have all that second round of the playoff, have all their playoff games at home in that 5-game series. So, for instance, the Dodgers played the Padres. The Dodgers should get an advantage of playing all those games at home because they
earned
their record and they earned something. Yeah. So and that's something that's directly from NPB. Where else would you get that idea? But I did want to say this. It's no accident that the Bay Stars are here. I think I said all season long, the Central League really had no clear or dominant team. And the CL pitching was really strong this season. I mean, if you went man for man and compared them, I would even say they might have been a nose or a hair better than the Pacific League in terms of starting pitching. I don't know if you throw in the bullpens, if that's the case, but the starting pitchers, and we're seeing that here, that I think the Hanshin Tigers had really good starting pitching. Obviously, the Giants did,
yep.
The Bay Stars did, the Dragons did, maybe the Swallows didn't, but the Carp did for the most part until they broke down in the second half of the season. So you look at that, and it's no surprise that the Bay Stars are in this position. We don't know, obviously, if they're going to go and finish this thing off today or if they're going to have to push it to a Game 7 and if they're going to win or lose. But I do think they wholeheartedly deserve their opportunity here. And it's clearly a great morale booster for any manager who wants to develop his team and his players over a season to have them at peak performance at the end of the year, which is right now. And because that is what DeNA manager Daisuke Miura has done. And this is the reward for a lot of patience and a lot of trial and error and a lot of growth. And I just love it. So let's get into the games.
Yeah.
So we left off at Game 1. Mm-hmm. Game 2 on October 27th, the Hawks won 6-3. And that was, you know, Levon Moinello did well. He was okay for six and two-thirds innings.
Yeah, his problem was he got hit in the hip with a batted ball, and his game went to hell. He was absolutely crushing it. Hiroki Kokubo, the Hawks manager, said it was no big deal and he could stay out there, but he was not good after he got hit with a ball. He couldn't locate anymore, and they were just taking big swings on fat pitches. Or they were taking, I shouldn't say big swings, but they were taking good swings on fat pitches. They were taking high percentage swings, and he was throwing them. So
yeah,
that was really the problem. And so that became a close game when it didn't really deserve to be. But, you know, that happens. And again, the story was the Bay Stars giving up. Shinichioku Onuki was not really good, and then his defense sabotaged him some more. And it became, you know, it struck me, the Bay Stars ERA was fifth worst in the 16 Central League this year.
Overall, okay. Yeah,
overall.
Yeah.
Okay. And they allowed fifth most runs in the Central League. And the defense was, There's a Bill James saying that much of what we think about pitching is actually defense.
And I can buy that, yeah, because I always claim that they work hand in hand, yeah.
They do. They're synergistic, which makes them annoyingly hard to separate because it's really hard when you look at numbers to say which is which. Bill James doesn't, in my opinion, does an incredibly admirable job of doing that. It's like making soup pitching and defense is like a soup, and then afterwards trying to say which break take the soup and then re-break it down into its original elements when it's all melded together. It's really, really hard. But I think when you look at the Bay Stars, you can see, not that they don't have defensive players. Now, some people on the internet were harsh and said they've got five first basemen in the field. And he was referring to whoever's playing first base and Shugo Maki and Toshiro Miyazaki in third base, and either Yoshitomo Tsutsugo or Keita Sano in left field, and whoever was in right field. But they've got somebody else who's actually not slow, Koki Kajiwara in right. He's not slow, but he's not really a good glove.
Right, yeah. He's growing.
Yeah, he's fast. He's
developing, yeah.
Yeah, he's fast, but he's not really his throws and his basically his fundamentals are not really all that great compared to the rest of the guys. But Miyazaki's not a bad fielder. He's just no longer very quick. He used to be quick, not fast, but quick. And he's not as quick as he used to be. So his range is pretty much not great. Maki, to be fair, his range is not great.
It's not great, but he's making plays all over the place. So leave him alone.
He has. Yeah, but I'm saying it was harsh. You know, it was.
Oh, no, I'm saying to these people, yeah, not to you, yeah, but yeah,
it was harsh. Alone. But the range
plays you can't make, buddy.
Well, yeah, but I think it is fair to say that if you looked at the actual range, the Bay Stars' range is probably one of the worst in as a team.
Sure.
Probably worse than NPB. So yeah, we could see that, and we could see the sort of misplays here and there. But what we've seen, and that's that really killed them in games one and two, and it has continued to plague them as we get to Fukuoka.
Okay, so the Bay Stars dropped the first two at home, and apparently the players had a meeting after the first couple games, and a guy who has been a star, and I did want to tell this story. This is Masayuki Kuwahara of the Bay Stars. He's playing center field for the team. And I remember a long time ago, I don't remember the year, of course, but when Alex Ramirez was the manager of the Bay Stars and he went to the All-Star game at Chiba. And I don't think it was Zoom Zoom Stadium at the time. So at the Chiba Stadium, and I got a chance to do a quick JBW interview with Alex Ramirez. And I said, hey, who is one of the guys who you think might have been on the All-Star team who isn't here? And of course, he picked one of his players, and it happened to be Kuwahara, who was having a pretty decent year that year. And he said, yeah, I think Kuwahara should be here. And he really loved this guy. And since then, Kuwahara has had his issues. He has, you know, lost his starting job. He went through stretches in which he didn't hit. He has gone through stretches in which he really didn't field that well. He's been hurt. He has had some issues, but he is at peak performance in this Japan series. And I would apparently he said something about the team. Do you really want to go out this way? Something to that effect. I mean, you know, you're losing at home like this. Don't you feel frustrated? And so the Bay Stars went into SoftBank, to SoftBank's home dome at PayPay Dome. And starting on October 29th, the Bay Stars stood up and won, stopped the 14-game Japan Series winning streak that the Hawks had put together since 2018, I believe it was.
Game three.
Game three.
They tied in Hiroshima and lost in Hiroshima, and then came back and didn't look back until game three of 2024.
Right, and it was after this game that I started to feel get the hint that maybe the 2011 Japan series, during which the Dragons won the first two games at Fukuoka, and then the Hawks swept all three in Nagoya before Chunichi went to Fukuoka and won game six. So all the road teams had won through six games, and then finally the Hawks stopped that trend in game seven, and they became the first home team to win a game in the series, and they took the Japan series. So in this game it was 4-1. SoftBank won. What stood out for you during this game?
Again, I think, again, I'll keep on the same page, which was Katsuki Azuma. Katsuki Azuma on October 12th, he pitched four scoreless innings against the Hanshin Tigers in DeNA's opening game of their first stage playoffs. And he did not get the win, obviously, because he only pitched four innings, but he was sharp. And then he strained, I don't remember which hamstring it was, but he strained a hamstring. And it was, he was activated for the Japan series. And there was doubt whether he would be able to come back. And he said after game five, he said, look, there were concerns about whether I was going to aggravate it and make it much, much worse and potentially delay the start to my 2025 season. I pushed my rehab too aggressively. So as he, you know, with that in the back of his mind, he came back, and manager Daisuke Miura said he has an amazing mentality for doing rehab. And this is a guy who, of course, came back from Tommy John surgery to be twice the pitcher, well, 50% better than the Rookie of the Year pitcher he was when he began in 2018.
Ultimately, yes.
So he came back, and he's been the best pitcher in Japan the last 2 years.
And I do want to mention that in that was the first round of the CLCS. They did do something really smart, which was get him off the mound after the four innings, because he actually pitched. He got hurt, and then he pitched another inning, and then they said, "You know what? We need to get you out. If we can move on, we're going to need you in the Japan series." I didn't think he was coming back. I heard it was, well, yeah, you said strain. I guess it was I don't know what grade of strain it was.
Well, the difference between a strain, the problem is that in Japanese, they use the same word for strain and tear.
Yes, they do. Well, they are the same. But
they are the same, but they're lesser degrees. Exactly.
But they don't differentiate, yes.
Yeah, they know the difference, but they don't say the difference because it's the same word. If it had been if it had been a tear, he would not have been available for the Japan series for sure, because that's a three-month thing. He came back, and he was really, really good. He gave up 10 hits. But
yeah, I think I got a hit off him that day from here in North Carolina because he was giving too many away.
Well, one of them was a bunt hit, but basically the reason he gave up 10 hits was because his fielders were not making plays.
Sure.
So his fielders were not making plays, and that was the run he allowed in the first inning to tie the game 1-0 against Carter Stewart Jr.
Wait, you can't tie the game 1-0.
Tie the game 1-1 after the Bay Stars scored in the first inning against Carter Stewart Jr. Carter Stewart Jr.'s control was, it was somewhere other than Pepe Dome. And he was visibly frustrated with it. And I felt like he was having the yips. Even his last inning, he got out. Well, he pitched three scoreless innings after that. Let me just correct that, make sure I get it right. 18.
He
pitched three scoreless innings, but they were fraught and included a play at first base in the fourth inning when there's runners on first and second, and he basically made a wild pitch to first base. He threw a big hanging curve that almost got past his first baseman and would have scored a run. But it was a really good leap by the not very, I don't know what you'd call altitudinally challenged Hitaka Yamakawa. He's not tall. Okay, but he made a good athletic leap to bring that ball in because it was headed for right field.
Okay.
So it was a bad game from him, and he did have his strikeouts, as he will, but it was a bad game. And so Carter Stewart's control was not there. He was lucky to get through four innings because of his defense and his strikeouts. He was able to get through four innings with one run allowed. This is what I mean about SoftBank pitchers having a huge edge.
Right. Right.
And Azuma working without that advantage, although, the aforementioned Masayuki Kuwahara, I think, made one of his web gems in that game. He's been playing really good defense in center field. He saved them.
Outstanding.
Yeah, so he saved them a run or two with his defense in center field. while his teammates were, you know, handing out care packages.
Hashtag high heat. So,
it was Halloween. They were saying trick or treat and
pretty much. Yeah, it was pretty much.
All right.
So anyway, right. So that was that game, and then Ozma went on, and the Bay Stars pulled away in that game against. As soon as this is going to become a recurring theme, soon as the Hawks take out a struggling pitcher, it's like all of a sudden it becomes a shopping spree for the DeNA hitters. Not all of a sudden, but they score a ton of runs against the SoftBank Hawks bullpen.
Yeah, they've taken advantage of that. And so we move on, if you're ready, to game four. And now I'm going to call this the Kuwahara game. I know it was a 5-0 win for the Bay Stars on the 30th, but I'm giving it to Kuwahara because he made another play. Anthony Kay was fantastic. Another scoreless 7 innings from him. Tyler Austin hits a home run, a solo shot.
To tie it.
Toshiro Miyazaki hits a home run.
Hold on. I'm sorry. So Tyler Austin gets the go-ahead run. He breaks the scoreless tie in the 4th inning. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And then Miyazaki hits a home run. Is that leading off the 7th? I can't remember.
It was
in the 7th inning. Yeah, and then that sparks another rally for the Bay Stars, and you know they end up winning. And so after this 14-game Japan Series winning streak for the Hawks, all of a sudden they have a losing streak in the Japan Series. Now, so somebody asked me, is that a Japan Series record? So we did look it up recently, in fact, just now, and we found that, yes, it is a Japan Series record, the 14 consecutive Japan Series victories for the Hawks. So that's a record. So the Bay Stars not only put a halt to that, but they came back and won. And then we're going to get to game 5, which they also won. But I looked at Miura and I just thought this was the game for me. Kuwahara is playing so well. His pitchers are performing. I'm starting to just look at him and say, you know what? I'm giving you credit, boss. You're doing this because the regular season, and I always talked about it with Bobby Valentine when he was here, how that those first couple months, you're just trying to see what you really have. And then you've got to manage the injuries. You've got to manage the egos. You got to manage the players, the personalities, all the situations. But you want your team, again, to be in peak performance at this time of year. And I have to give kudos and a standing ovation to Miura because his team is doing exactly what he envisioned his team should be doing or could be doing or that he wanted the team to be doing at this moment. Now, whether they finish this thing off or not, I have no idea, obviously, but kudos to him because even if they don't win another game in this series, I think the team is at peak performance and that's what you want.
You do, provided of course you can get there, which was always a challenge. But no, you're right. What you said is, I think, absolutely right. This is I doubt the season unfolded the way he expected it to. Because
never does.
No, because he's probably saying, how come you guys weren't playing like this like a month ago?
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, he could say that.
At the time, he's probably going, you know, we're playing really bad.
Well, remember,
they stopped playing bad in the middle of September.
Sure, but that coincided with the Hiroshima Carp forgetting how to swim, essentially.
Well, what they forgot they forgot that the ball changed.
Yeah, whatever they forgot, you know, they got some help. So I'm not saying that the Bay Stars did this all by themselves, but they certainly they were committed to the process and they were involved heavily in the outcome.
Well, it's,
and so were the Carp.
Okay, the Bay Stars were in the right place at the right time with the right stuff.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
Okay.
Agreed. So, then we go to Halloween
before we get to the Halloween bit, I want to actually mention that Shuta Ishikawa was pretty darn good against the Bay Stars in game 4, and he'd allowed a single to Tyler Austin, he'd allowed a home run to Tyler Austin. And then with a runner on and Tyler Austin coming up in the sixth in a one-run game, they took him out for the bullpen. Okay, now, the first guy out of the bullpen strikes out Tyler Austin. So, wow, everything's going great. And then it's Hawks bullpen Jekyll and Hyde. And then he gives up four runs.
He gives up four runs.
So that was the thing. It was like Ichikawa was like the, you know, well, you know, as a manager, you never know. It was a perfectly sensible thing to take out the guy, you know, in six innings, and he'd thrown, I don't know, what, about 80 or 90 pitches. But yeah, the end result was bad. Okay, so I don't want to criticize Kokubo, because that was a perfectly sensible decision for that instant, but boy, the after effect was,
but it's the sixth inning and you're not bringing in some big artillery, you're bringing in a pistol, and you don't get the outs. And I you know, my question would be, and you know, we talked about it, I'm nervous all the time about leads, and I'm nervous when I see my team fall behind. I'm not gonna let extra runs come across, and I mean, it would just take me a couple hits and I'd be slapping my arm as I'm walking to the mound, because I'm not going to sit there and watch a guy give up four runs or three hits. You know, it would just take one or two for me, one hit and one walk, and I'm out there at the mound. I'm sorry. So it was Shuto Ogata, and he gave up three hits. He walked two. I'm sorry. He walked one.
One.
Yeah. He walked one. I just would have been out there at the mound.
He left a 2-0 game with the bases loaded, and then Kuwahara comes up against the next pitcher, who was really good. He'd been really good a couple times, at least once before in the Japan series, and Kuwahara doubles off him. And he got ahead in the count, you know, and this was an at bat. Kuwahara took two called strikes, and he fouled off two strike pitches. And then doubles in two runs, and basically.
Yeah, and that was, Shunta Iwai. And again, I'm just thinking, you know, bring in some guns, man. But anyway.
You'd think, like, Darwin's on Hernandez or somebody who's actually out there good.
Yeah, I wouldn't even say that. I'm just saying, you know, bring in the guys you think are going to get outs, not the guys you're hoping to get outs with.
Yeah, I think there's some frustration there. You know, this series reminds me a little bit of what happens when teams struggle against a pitcher. When you see somebody throw like eight scoreless innings, and it's like the beginning might look a little bad. You know, it's like, oh, they're getting some good swings off them, and they're seeing things, but the balls are caught. But finally, the pitcher finds a rhythm, and he starts mixing up his pitches. And by about the fifth inning, you see the batters have absolutely no idea what they're swinging at. I mean, they have no plan anymore. They have their expectations are completely shot. And this is the feeling I'm getting about Hiroki Kokuboni's bullpen. He's like going, I do not know who to put out here.
Yeah, and I will agree that none of his guys really has been doing that well. So it is kind of a shot in the dark, so to speak. But
it is sad, because that was the one really good starting pitching performance they had in Fukuoka, and they didn't get nothing for it.
Yeah, so I imagine if Kohei Arihara, who's pitching today, he's the starter for the Hawks today, it doesn't go really deep into this game, it really doesn't bode well for the Hawks. But let's talk about talk about game five here real quick and then move on. So game five is Andre Jackson, and he goes out there and I would say throws his best game in Japan. Seven innings, three hits. He strikes out eight. He walks two. He hit a guy, but 108 pitches. He ends up with the win. Again, seven scoreless. And then the bullpen for the Bay Stars, conversely, those guys have been pretty hot. And nobody's really giving up runs.
100%.
It's the third straight game in which, as I mentioned before, that a Bay Stars pitcher has gone seven innings. And then this time they've got two scoreless starts together for the Bay Stars against the Hawks. And now the Hawks haven't scored in a bunch of innings here. They've been shut out for 20-some-odd innings in the Japan series.
26, yep. They scored in game three because they had two ground balls to shortstop that resulted in one out and could have been one out because it was a force out, but they should have been out of that inning before the run scored.
Yeah, so they scored in the first inning back in the first game, right?
Right, and that was it.
On Tuesday, yeah, that's it. And so
the bullpen's been bad, and conversely, the Bay Stars bullpen, even in Yokohama, was pretty good. And Kokubo is saying, look, there's their guys shut us down. We needed to find solutions against their bullpen, and they were not.
Yeah. Now, I wouldn't say we didn't. I mean, I wouldn't say Andre Jackson's performance was a surprise.
No.
I would just say that we didn't see it coming, not like this. And he's certainly capable. And we had him on the show a couple times. And this is, I think, his third appearance, or at least second appearance. I did the interview first time, so this must be the second. And, I don't think I saw seven shutout innings coming from him. So, I don't even think the most loyal of Bay Stars fans could have hoped for this kind of thing. So right now, it just seems like the Bay Stars have that kind of groove going, and it bodes well for them. But again, that rainout hurts in that the Hawks get to rest some of their guys who have been throwing out of the bullpen a lot. So it should be fun. To be honest, like I said, I would like to see the third place team win this thing. I'd like to see Miura get rewarded for putting together a masterful season, and he has been good in this Japan series as well. But his players are performing, and
I did not see this coming either, because basically the Hawks' offense has been top of the world.
Mm.
I mean, they've been just tremendous this season, and they've been tremendous because it's primarily a left-handed hitting lineup.
Mm-hmm.
You look at it, and it's Yuki Yanagita, it's Joja Kurihara. Okay, basically the right-handed hitters are Kenta Imamiya, who's a good hitter, and Hotaka Yamakawa, and Takuya Kai, the catcher, who doesn't have a hit, and who came out. And this may be a corollary to what happened in Game 5, but Hiroki Kokubo finally gave up on Kai Takuya, and that he had started, I think, 13 straight Japan Series games for the Hawks.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden they're in a 6-0 hole or 4-0 hole. And I think, I don't know if those two are related, but things are weird. And the Hawks have been the reason the Hawks are so much better offensively than the Bay Stars this year is because they absolutely destroyed right-handed pitching. I mean, it's like you threw a right-hander against him. It was like playing Russian roulette with three bullets in the gun.
Sure, yeah.
They destroyed him. So I did not see this coming against Andre Jackson. And again, the Bay Stars defense was a little jittery at the start of the game. But he struck out a bunch of guys. And, and if your defense isn't, the answer to guys not making plays is not giving them plays to make. So that was the answer. Anthony Kay also did really well in that respect. Anthony Kay said something interesting after game 4. We talked on, I don't remember if we talked, this was after the game or the next day. He said, their left-handed hitters just never adjusted to what I was doing.
Mm.
Okay. So here's the thing. The Hawks are like going there, as President Abraham Lincoln said about one of his generals once, he looks like a duck that's been hit over the head with a hammer.
Mm.
And that's what they're looking like. They're like, we were supposed to win this. How come we're not winning this?
How come we're losing?
Yeah, exactly. How come, they're still here? Okay, this is, and as a last thing before we move on, this is the third time a third place team has reached the Japan Series.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lotte Marines won in 2010. The DeNA Bay Stars under Alex Ramirez pushed it to 6 games after falling down 3-0.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are again. Okay, and then this series also, another a series which this one looks like, is the 2000 series when Sadahara Oh managed the Hawks against his former teammate Shigeo Nagashima, and the Hawks won two games at Tokyo Dome and then came back and lost the next four. Ooh. Yeah. But I would also mention that Hiroki Kokubo is maybe a slightly, when it comes to big games, Hiroki Kokubo actually might be a slightly better big game manager than Sadahara Oh, who is like the worst I've ever seen.
Yeah, you've mentioned that a number of times on the show.
But Kokubo is now beginning to look like the guy who managed Japan in the 2015 Premier 12. Like,
yeah,
I was planning to use that guy before the bases were loaded, you know, and then why didn't you have him warming up?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I forgot about that part. Yeah. So I'm wondering, he has shown that he can actually manage games, but I wonder if he's the big game thing is bothering him again. So.
All right. Well, we'll see. And good luck to the Bay Stars and Michael West Bay's team as it goes out for Game 6 and tries to wrap this thing up. Let's go to fielding questions. All right, Tony in Busan sent by email, and he says, thanks to you, John, and Jim for JBW this season. It kept me engaged in following MPB, even though I'm already following MPB and KBO, the local option, very closely. Also, cheers to you, John, on your new job. Best wishes to you in the Tar Heel state. Yeah, I saw something on the, they've got a lot of Virginia plates here in North Carolina for some reason. But anyway, he asks, is it a role in sports media? And the question, the answer to that is no, it is not. I am far away from media now. He says, last question, how do you watch Nippon Series games in the USA? If there's no great option, no need to share, I understand. And thanks again for the great season. Hope that JBW can continue in 2025. So I've been doing a search in Japanese on YouTube, and usually somebody has linked up a stream that has the games on live, and that's how I've been watching. And there are also guys out there who just do their own radio-style calls, but it's just a guy in his mom's spare room. I won't say garage.
You're going to say
not a lot of garages out there in
not
Japan
a lot of
where guys do these games.
Either.
Yeah, and basements and all that stuff. So, but some guys are out there, including women, who are doing these live stream calls. So I'll tune into one of those. And I, like I said, I don't want to be tempted to look while I'm driving to work. So, and this driving to work thing is new for me because I've been on a train for the past 20 years going to work. So this is new. So I don't want to be distracted. So I've just been listening to the later innings or the latter innings of games. And in fact, I was telling Jim before we went on mic that I have to miss some of the ends of games. So I hope we don't have any extra inning game seven situation, because I'll just be sitting in an office somewhere, not being able to watch or listen. So I'm hoping, but thank you for the kind words. Really appreciate that.
Just a reminder before I kick out here, is that if we have a Japan, because Japan series games can be tied, used to be after 15 innings, and now it's 12 innings. Games one through seven. Okay, here's the, when you listen to this, you will catch on. Games one through seven are only allowed to go to 12 innings now, and they can be tied. And why do you say games one through seven? Well, because if seven games are over and neither team has won four, there will be a game eight.
Yep.
At the park of the game seven host. So if both of these games are tied this weekend, today, if Sunday's game six is tied and Monday's game seven is tied, there will be a game eight in Yokohama on Tuesday.
And possibly a game nine if the Hawks win, right?
Which cannot be tied. So that one could go forever.
Oh, okay. All right.
And then if the Hawks win that game in 25 innings, then they will fly to Fukuoka for a game nine on Thursday.
Let's just hope that doesn't happen. Thank you for the nightmare scenario. Yeah. Thank you.
I don't look forward to that. But
yeah.
But there's always, as a fan, I would look forward to that. But as a reporter, no. Mm-hmm.
No, I don't think I said last week everybody's reaching for their heart pills. So that game's 8-9 after going ties. No, fans can't take that. Also, Tony, I think there's someone somewhere on Reddit. In fact, Michael Westbase shared a link with me that maybe I'll copy and tweet or something. But the folks on Reddit also can assist you because there's a large community out there that follows MPB. And they have streams available somewhere. So I'll try to remember to copy and paste that link to you from that I got from Michael Westbase, but also check MPB Reddit and all that stuff and just ask those guys because there are some streams out there. Okay. All right. Let's see if the Bay Stars can finish this thing off. That would be very exciting and really, really good for baseball, despite what that other guy says. But he doesn't know anything. He's in a basement somewhere.
Whoa.
Thanks for the questions. Anyone else who has a comment or anything they want to say or have us talk about, please hit us up on x.com at JBW Podcast with the hashtag High Heat. Send questions via email to yakyujohn@gmail.com or hit us up on the Facebook page. We will talk to you next week. Enjoy your Japan series.
See you at the ballpark.
Follow the hosts on Twitter at JBW Podcast and at JBall Allen. And feel free to submit your questions by email or tweet with hashtag High Heat. Thank you for listening to Japan Baseball Weekly.